Welcome to the Issue Is podcast. I'm Alex Michelson. This week, we're doing something a little different. We're taking a step away from politics. We get into so much of the division every week. Today is about what brings us together. We're doing a show all about gratitude and service. And to me, one of the people that I know that exemplifies that most is Justin Baldoni. He's an actor. I've become friendly with him over the last couple years. This is the interview I've always wanted to do with him because I think what he has to say is really important for people to hear. So take a listen. I'm Alex Michelson. On this Thanksgiving weekend, the issue is gratitude.
We spend so much time thinking about politics and policy and legislation, and we forget that the other half of the issue is just love.
Jane the Virgin star Justin Baldoni is here to talk about how he helps the homeless, those facing life-threatening illnesses, and being man enough.
But it is exhausting trying to be man enough for everyone all the time.
How Baldoni is challenging preconceived notions about being a man and a father on this weekend all about family. A special edition of The Issue Is starts right now. And welcome to a special edition of The Issue Is. I'm Alex Michelson, and we're taking a break from the usual divisive politics talk. This week is all about gratitude, service, and paying it forward. And our guest tonight embodies those concepts. His name is Justin Baldoni. Welcome to The Issue Is.
What's up, my friend?
Yes.
Thank you for taking a break from politics.
It's hard to get me to do that. So you may know Justin as Raphael from Jane the Virgin, where producers often find a way to show off his physique and make the rest of us men feel bad about ourselves.
Oh, you're actually, wow, that's me.
But he makes all of us feel great by his incredible philanthropic work that has changed so many people's lives. So now that we've gotten that out of the way and they're watching the show, let's talk about some of the work you do. And what does gratitude mean to you?
Gratitude, that's a really good question. For me, gratitude is taking a pause from this material world that I think is designed to distract us from what really matters, and just taking account of the tremendous blessings that every single one of us have. And that looks different for everybody. And it can be as simple as, oh wow, I'm getting to breathe. I can walk. Oh wow, I'm in a marriage, or I'm in a relationship, or my parents are still alive. There is, as long as we are breathing, we can find something to be grateful for. And I think that gratitude leads directly to happiness.
You know, you work on like 80,000 different things and make me feel like I don't do that much, which is crazy because I do a lot. But
you do
one
do
of the
lot.
Things you're doing is you're the founder of something called the Skid Row Carnival of Love, which I encourage everybody to be a part of. It's on Saturday, January 26th of next year. And it's really been your vision to transform Skid Row. Talk to us about what the idea behind this is and how people can get involved in it.
Well, the Skid Row Carnival of Love honestly started as a way for me to guilt my friends into being of service. So it started like 9 years ago on my birthday. And I was never really one for like birthday parties or attention. I always felt weird. I also didn't have a lot of friends. And I knew that every year, every day that goes by on Skid Row, it's somebody's birthday that does not get celebrated. And the thought was, well, maybe if we go downtown and acknowledge, like, we're never gonna like solve the homeless epidemic with like a few people and some sandwich bags. But maybe if we could go downtown and see them and hear them and talk to them and build a relationship, that we could make a little bit of an impact. And also, it feels good when you give. It feels good when you are of service. And I wanted to feel good on my birthday. So that kind of led to 5 years ago when Jane the Virgin happened and the illusion of celebrity, and suddenly like you get on a show and we're in LA and people are like, oh, well, he must be cool.
Right.
I'll go do what he says. We wanted to use that as a way to bring attention to an epidemic that's happening in our own backyard. So basically the carnival is a Trojan horse to get a bunch of people to acknowledge that there's a real problem. And at its core, it's about seeing, it's about hearing, it's about making people that are forgotten by society feel loved. And through love, hopefully help them rehabilitate themselves and get off the street.
Yes, so you have all these volunteers who go out there. Some of them provide free services like medical services and job services. Some of them just entertaining and sort of having a good time. And I've been out there to cover it the last few years. I spoke to one of the people that benefit from this and take a listen to what she had to say.
I mean, this is kind of love that you don't get from your mother, you don't get from your father, you get it from these strangers, and it makes it so amazing.
What she just described is really the core of the carnival, which is you might be in a different situation than me, but it doesn't mean that, like, I cannot love you and just show you love. And it's just one day.
Right.
But our goal is that once we kind of open up the hearts, that the volunteers that come to the carnival come back. And they don't forget about the incredible people that they met on Skid Row.
And something else that you do that's really powerful is this show called My Last Days, where you document people that are facing life-threatening illnesses in their last days. And there's sort of a video documentation of that process, including this clip right here.
My name is Claire Wendland. I am 18 years old. I'm living with something called cystic fibrosis. Doctors say I have around a year left to live. But that doesn't really matter to me because death is inevitable. But living a life that we are proud of, that is something we can actually control.
What did you learn from Claire? What can we all learn from her?
Oh, man. I learned from Claire that we all have the ability, as she says, to make our lives a beautiful piece of art. What's so interesting about doing, I think, 25 or so now documentaries about individuals who are dying but living amazing lives is that it kind of forces you to think about your own mortality. And it's something that I think we spend our lives running from, this idea that one day all of us are not going to be here anymore. And that's a big thing to run away from. But if you think about it, and there's a reason why every religion in the history of the world asks us to kind of meditate on it, it's because if you can think about your own mortality and become friends with it, it will influence the way that you live. So the byproduct of that for me is I wake up every day and it is on the back of my mind. The other side of that is I definitely need therapy. So it's something that I'm working through, that my wife and I are working through, because it's very hard to lose people like Claire that you love so dearly.
We want to let you know that our show and all of our past shows are available as a podcast. Just search for The Issue Is wherever it is you stream. So up next, we're going to talk about masculinity a bit. Hear that song? What a man, what a man.
I'm a good man.
Justin has tackled issues of masculinity. It's gotten millions of people talking. We're going to have some of that conversation next. And it might get uncomfortable for me. That's what he's promising.
Uh-oh. I like this. I've been pretending to be a man that I'm not my entire life. I've been pretending to be strong when I felt weak, confident when I felt insecure, and tough when really I was hurting. I think for the most part, I've just been kind of putting on a show. But I'm tired of performing. And I can tell you right now that it is exhausting trying to be man enough for everyone all the time.
That is Justin Baldoni delivering a TED Talk that's been seen by millions online. It's all about the issue of masculinity. Justin Baldoni joins us again on The Issue Is. So, Justin, what's sort of your main point there?
First of all, I was so nervous. That was the scariest thing I have ever done, that TED Talk right
there. Why do you think that is?
First of all, it's not something that I think we have, as men, have been trained to talk about, like our feelings, right? Yeah. We've been trained to do a lot of things, but talk about our feelings and our emotions are definitely not one of them. And doing it on a global stage like that and sharing very personal insights, I also have a fear of public speaking, like a lot of people do.
Really?
Believe it or not.
Really?
Yes. Yes, I do. So before, and my wife can attest, I like freak out. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to fail. Oh my God. And it just comes from this, we can tie it back into masculinity in the sense that it comes from this like 8-year-old version of myself that just never felt like he was enough.
Right.
That just always wanted other people to like me and other boys to like me and to be accepted. And I knew, like, by doing this talk about masculinity, that some of the population would take it as a political thing or take it as me coming after men, when it was the opposite. And so it was just, I was just nervous. I was scared. I, you know, we all want to be liked. We all want to be loved. We all want to be, you know, seen in that way. So that,
What was your bottom line message for men?
My message to men is embrace all the parts of you that make you a man, but that also make you human.
Right.
So,
and one thing I thought was really moving was you talked about your father, Sam Baldoni, who's amazing. I've gotten to know him, and he's great. But you talked about the fact that as a kid, you sort of subconsciously resented him because he was more of an emotional guy and less of sort of the sort of Superman character.
Yeah, so I got bullied as a kid a lot. I was kind of skinny. And I naturally, I think, was more emotional. I was an artist without really realizing it. And we had moved from here in LA to a small town in Oregon. And all my other friends' dads were like big and strong with beards and would like, you know, chew tobacco and go hunting. And, you know, they taught their kids how to fight and ride dirt bikes. And my dad was by nature more of like an emotional, sweet man. He was always the nicest guy in town, kind to people, treated people with respect, loved my mom and treated her with kindness. And so I went to school and didn't feel like I was man enough because all my other friends were way like more rugged and cooler than me, and I couldn't do the things that they could do. So I say that he didn't teach me how to use my hands, but he did teach me how to use my heart. And it wasn't until I got older that I realized that that was the most beautiful gift he could have ever given me.
Right. And I think part of your process in working through some of that is you've created this show called Man Enough,
yeah.
where you explore these issues with other, some high-profile people and diverse group of men that sit around a table. It's a web series. Here's a clip.
I don't want to talk about certain things sometimes because I want to be a strong person in the family.
Yeah, right?
If you worry that you will not be able to provide, to do your role, this is my biggest scare.
We want to be hard. We want to be impervious. Nothing should ever get in. That is not human.
Confused.
What's been the biggest surprise from those conversations?
I think the biggest surprise has been how many men have been waiting for it. I get a lot of messages. What's interesting is I get a lot of private messages from men just pouring out their hearts and thanking me because so many men have felt like their masculinity has always been in question. But that, you know, whether they were gay or straight or more emotional or, you know, how they dressed, that they felt like there was a place for them now as men. And a lot of men want to have conversations. We want to have deep conversations, even with each other, but we don't know how to do it. And it's not our fault. We just haven't been socialized to have those conversations. Like with, I mean, do you have really deep, intimate conversations with the men in your life or with your father? We haven't been trained to do that, right? Normally it's like when our parents, when our dads tell us that they love us, if we're lucky enough to have dads that do, you get a little choked up or they're proud of us, right?
Right.
But when was the last time
it's much easier for mom to say that.
But when was the last time you got to like drop in and go deep with like your dad? Or a brother, or a best friend, and saying, man, I'm really struggling with this. That is what men are craving, right? And that's hopefully what our show is kind of helping men realize that it's possible.
As a kid that was bullied and has struggled with some of that masculinity issues, I think it's really great that there's a conversation that's been started.
So you were bullied?
Right. Yeah. By all the time. And it was very painful, and it's nice that conversation is started.
But what's so interesting about even you saying that you were bullied is that we so often project our view, right, of what we wish we were as men on each other. So you saying as a 6 foot, 25 inch, very handsome man that you were bullied, it's like, oh shoot, we can relate about that. Like,
right. Well,
you know, maybe you were really skinny and you were really tall or whatever. And now, of course, you are like the idea of what masculinity is, a successful, you know, news anchor, host, very handsome, beautiful suit. No one's going to bully you, right? But it's exciting to know that that's a part of your history, and men need to know that.
All right, we got to stop this love fest.
Come on, baby. Come on.
We do something on this show called Personal Issues. This is where we put 30 seconds on the clock and ask you some rapid-fire questions to get to know you a little better.
Okay.
It's hard to get to know you better than what we've been doing. All right, here we go. Ready? Favorite meal?
Pasta from Rome.
Favorite book?
Oh my gosh. There's so many. The Promulgation of Universal Peace by Abdul-Baha.
I was gonna say the same thing. Best thing about being a Californian?
The weather.
Favorite newscaster?
Obviously, Alex over here.
All right, first concert.
First concert. Oh, my God. I think it was Coolio.
And last question, who's your role model?
My dad.
Yeah. You've got a great family. And up next, we're going to talk about family because it is Thanksgiving Day weekend. And speaking of that, we're going to bring his wife, Emily, into the conversation.
Yes.
Let's get her in here.
Hey, baby.
Dancing in here.
Hi.
How lucky is this guy? All right.
So
we'll be
lucky.
Back with more. Stay with us for The Issue Is. That right there was the proposals of all proposals. Justin Baldoni with a 25-minute viral proposal that I think 11 million people watched online. And somehow, Emily Baldoni said yes.
Somehow? I don't know what I was thinking.
What are you marrying?
That's a stupid question.
Saying there's such a stupid question. Justin and Emily, welcome to The Issue Is. Good
you.
To see you, Emily.
Thank you.
All right, so after that happened, then you guys had kids. You have two kids now,
yeah.
Amaya and Maxwell. Mm-hmm. You post a lot about them. They're a picture-perfect family. And you also post about some of your struggles with your, you know, and the challenges of being parents.
Right.
How has, because this show is all about gratitude, how has being a parent changed your perspective on gratitude and on service?
Well, service, first of all, you learn a lot about it being a parent because you're of service 24/7.
Yeah, that's true.
So you really do learn selflessness and sacrifice. But also, of course, suddenly things matter so much more. Gratitude, being of service together, and I think, especially as a mom, you become even more painfully aware of all the children around the world that don't have what our children have. It just hurts in a very different way. So it makes it more important to be of service as a family, show up for people in need, donate your time or money. It just, everything just means so much more. And we want our kids to grow up knowing that They are very blessed, and they have more than most. Yeah.
Justin, your perspective?
I think, you know, Emily and I are both Baha'is. We come from the Baha'i faith, and we're told that our children learn all of the spiritual attributes before the age of 5. And for us, you talked about what we learned about being of service. Our children don't learn from what we say. They learn from really what we do and what they see us do. And we wanna, you know, have our children grow up to be beneficial to mankind, to the world, and to make a difference. And, you know, so what I've learned is as wonderful as all this is, and work and money and, you know, D-list celebrity and whatever it is, none of it matters. None of it matters. Take it all away, and we will be fine. Because at the end of the day, real gratitude is being content with what we have, and what we have is a beautiful family. And we're very lucky to have a beautiful family. So that's kind of the big thing, the big takeaway for me.
Yeah, and I know you both have been raised well and you're paying it forward. And as we play this song, Jeff Buckley, which I know you're a big fan of because it reminds you of your dad, right? Little Hallelujah.
Yeah. Yeah. This one is very special.
We played that at our wedding,
we
too.
We did.
Yeah.
We did.
Well,
so sweet.
And before we all start crying, let's go to commercial break. Up next, what we're all grateful for on this Thanksgiving weekend. Stay with us. A look into Hollywood on this Thanksgiving weekend, a time where we all share what we're grateful for. At least in my family, we all go around the table and say what we're grateful for. So as we close out the show, Emily, what are you grateful for?
I am grateful for the fact that we have the means and the opportunity to follow our dreams.
Well said. Justin?
I'm grateful right now in this moment for the chance to as Claire said, to make my life a beautiful piece of art and to be a tool of service for God. And also, I'm grateful that you took your platform and allowed us to come on to talk about gratitude.
Yes.
Because that's really what the world needs more of.
Thank you. Well, I'm grateful for that, too. I'm grateful to an amazing family that's been so supportive, to friends, and to our team that doesn't get enough love. A big thank you to producer Jeff, to editor Debbie, to managing editor Pete, to our director Francis, to all the guys in the crew, to Greg Lindsay, who's been helping us out this week. We've got an amazing staff that works so hard every week. I am so grateful for you. And special part of our staff, sort of unofficial, my mom, who makes us cookies and brownies every week for our green room. Look how good that looks. Handmade.
Oh,
she's the best. I'm lucky. And even Justin, who has 0% body fat.
Actors do eat carbs.
He's eating. He's eating some.
Too.
You can take your own.
No, I'm going to.
Thank you very much. Oh. Thank you all for watching. Have a good night, a great weekend, and show some love.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Our thanks to Justin and to Emily and to their entire family, and a lot to digest there. A very happy Thanksgiving to all of you and your family as well. I'm Alex Michelson. Have a good one.